AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. 50,000 people from all over the country watch the total eclipse of the sun at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
This was one of the most incredible things I think I've ever experienced. I don't actually have words to explain what I just saw.
It was so cool to see, like, everyone was cheering together. It just felt like everyone was coming together for, like, this super cool event.
Special Counsel Jack Smith's office just filed its brief urging the Supreme Court to reject former President Trump's appeal, claiming he should be immune from prosecution in his 2020 federal election interference case. Supreme Court argument scheduled for April 25th. Rejected by a New York appeals court judge, Donald Trump's bid to delay his April 15th hush money porn star election interference criminal trial. Yesterday's women's college basketball final had 18.7 million TV viewers, a record for that women's final, 24 million at its peak. South Carolina beat Iowa. Tonight, UConn and Purdue in the men's final. This is ABC News. Trying to prevent wildfires, a major utility shut power off across the suburbs and foothills west of Denver over the weekend, affecting tens of thousands of people.
If those lines were energized, that was a risk of a wildfire.
Holly Horvath of Xcel Energy says it may take more time to turn lights back on as damaged power lines are inspected and repaired. Country singer Morgan Wallen is facing three felony charges of reckless endangerment in Nashville. He was arrested today for allegedly throwing a chair from the roof of a downtown bar in Nashville, barely missing two police officers on the ground. His attorney says he's cooperating with law enforcement. The women's college basketball final is breaking records. More than 18.5 million viewers, 24 million at its peak. Most watched basketball game, men's or women's, in years. South Carolina beating Iowa. Caitlin Clark's final college game before going pro. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden unveiling a new student loan forgiveness plan at a stop in Madison Monday. Up to $20,000 in interest would be canceled for the 25 million Americans who owe more now than they first borrowed.
While a college degree still is a ticket to the middle class, that ticket's becoming much too expensive.
And borrowers who make less than $120,000 a year could have their interest canceled. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican bill that would have let 14 and 15-year-olds in Wisconsin work without getting a state permit or their parents' permission. The Republican bill was part of a wider push to roll back child labor laws in Wisconsin. Evers says asking more kids to work is not a serious solution to the state's worker shortage. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers rock Seattle. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers are in Cincinnati to open a four-game set against the Reds after winning their weekend series over the Mariners. Milwaukee with a 12-4 victory yesterday, despite starting pitcher Colin Ray battling the flu. Pat Murphy.
Colin, as you may or may not know, was sick. Had a stomach virus, it looks like, and he'd lost a lot of fluids in every way you can.
At 6-2, what's the team's mindset? Brewers pitcher Colin Ray.
You know, we got to all come in here and and not trying to do too much. Just keep being aggressive and competing in the box, competing on the mound.
NBA, the Bucks lose again, this time 122-109 to the Knicks. Milwaukee's now lost four in a row at home and six of their last seven games.
You know, we have, what, four games left? And all playoff teams, you know, maybe that's a blessing for us. I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, showers around, and lows in the low 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower, warmer, highs low 60s, and mostly sunny and upper 60s on Wednesday. The wind picks up Thursday, clouds roll back in, and another chance of showers. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
On air. 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight, coming to you live from Madison tonight. I've been in Madison for about a week doing Wisconsin Film Festival stuff, and they're nice enough to let me sit in Mike Crute's chair, Todd Alba's chair, the chairs of so many great Civic Media personalities. Johnny Beaner is in the studio here with me. Johnny, great to have you here tonight. Thanks for hanging out.
Of course.
Yeah. Madison-based Johnny Beaner. We'll get to some dates where you can see Johnny coming up. Right now, we're going to turn our attention. 50 years ago today, Hank Aaron broke the home run record. It was 714 by Babe Ruth. He hit his 715th today. And it's the 50-year anniversary of that. So I thought, what better way to have an excuse to talk to Mike Clemens, who joins us now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, you know something? When you sent me a note earlier this afternoon about coming on the show, I mean, there hasn't been anything on this, right?
What do you mean?
Have you been bombarded with 50th anniversary stories of Henry Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's home run record?
You know, Mike,
I haven't seen anything.
It's funny you say that, because I kind of feel like, as great as he is, and to me, he might be the greatest baseball player of all time, I don't think his name gets mentioned as well as much as it should at all, really, as great as he was. So, yeah, you're right.
Well, you know, he's an easygoing guy. You know, Henry Aaron was this terrific batter, and the way the wrist snapped through, even when he was a young kid, and getting like 20 or 30 home runs in the mid-50s when he played for the Milwaukee Braves, and they built and they built and they got themselves up to 57, and they won the World Series. And then they still had a great lineup left over, and that's when, you know, teams didn't move around, players didn't move around so much. A lot of those guys were still in that 57 team when they played their final year, 64, 65, before they moved to Atlanta, and he stayed with the team. But like the year before, I was looking up his stats. He hit 40 home runs and came one shy in 73 of breaking the Babe's record that year. And he needed to get to 715 to be the new all-time home run hitter. And he was 39 years old. 39 years old. And so that means that, you know, he was in his early 40s when he played for that year or two when he came back to Milwaukee. But Bud Selig loved him. He always appreciated Milwaukee and the Braves fans and all that to finish up his career as a Brewer. But, yeah, 50 years ago tonight.
That was really cool. I remember I lived in Chicago at the time, but my mom's family lived in Milwaukee, and we would come up to tailgate at County Stadium, and my aunt did some work for the city. She gave us all pictures, framed pictures of Henry Aaron, and that was the first introduction I ever had to him. I didn't have any idea how great he was. I was just a little kid, but Such an iconic moment when he's rounding the bases and that photographer is chasing him. I mean, it's just one of those moments in my life that sticks in my head, like it does for so many people, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you know, he gets the hit off of Al Dowling. You know, there's all this pressure, too. I mean, because he's down, you know, our family, I was a kid. We moved around a lot when I was a kid. And we lived in Milwaukee and then Chicago and then Cleveland, then Atlanta. We'd move like every 2 years or so. My dad kept on being moved with his company. But we're in Atlanta. And now, you know, our next door neighbors were great people. And I felt like we were an integrated community. But our neighbors, you know, this 10, 13-year-old kid that lived next door was up front. One time we were out for a ride. And out in the country, which is now completely covered, you know, Atlanta's like L.A. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
But there was this little country thing and a little country road, and there was a little red brick sort of looking like a church. He says, you see that building? And it still had a sign on it, KKK. Still the building of the Klan that was probably very active in the 30s and 40s was still sitting there in the early 70s. And, you know, Henry Aaron talked about this years later in documentaries and interviews that he was getting so much mail from people that were excited about baseball history or asking for an autograph or something like that. And then the hate mail, you know, and the words that they used at him and the threats that he received, like, you better not break Babe Ruth's records, you blankety blank. And he went through all that, and everybody in the team knew about it, and the league knew about it, and the security had to be tightened. So he smacks that ball over the Fulton County Stadium fence, which, by the way, they've still got a portion of that fence. I saw this a couple of years ago. They saved that little part of the fence out there in town so you can see where it actually happened. He's rounding the bases, and there's two college kids out there, you know, just having fun and out there. And as you mentioned, the photographer, his parents, his mom was actually there too and gave him a big hug when he finally got around home. But, you know, it was a sense of relief for everybody. It was a sense for Major League Baseball. Like, you know, okay, phew. They didn't know if there's going to be some guy out there, you know, in the second deck with a rifle or something. Who knew?
Right.
Who knew what was going to go on? So a great moment and a great feat. He was such a master at hitting the home run ball. There was a great piece that I read several years ago, and probably at the time when people still trying to analyze the swing of a Henry Aaron and other sluggers in baseball. They said one of the things about Babe, you know, Babe Ruth had such a strange build, you know, big belly, kind of skinny arms. You've ever seen those?
He didn't look like an athlete.
Yeah, those little black and whites of him rounding the bases, right? there were some scientists in the 30s that brought him in, and they used strobe lights. I think I actually got this in a psychology class that I took. But science then, and they had some pretty good science, actually determined that what Babe Ruth had wasn't so much the power or the swing of the bat. He had incredible vision. With using strobe lights, you know, our eyes all work like, you know, flash frames, like little movie cameras, right?
Right.
Well, you know, he was maybe working at 40 frames per second. I mean, he just had a better, clear picture of seeing the ball come out of the pitcher's hands, which is why he could square up and hit 60 home runs in a year or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And the, you know, the same thing with Aaron is just is how sweet his swing was. And, you know, just Bud Selig, and I never got to meet him. I really failed. There's a couple of opportunities where I probably got into some kind of a press conference where he was being honored in his last years. And you know, he passed away just a couple of years ago. How old was he? I think he was
38. Believe it or not.
No. No, he was 86. Passed away in Georgia. I'll tell you a quick story. It's like 65, and I said we lived in Milwaukee. My father managed a shoe store in downtown Milwaukee, and he said young man came in and picked the two finest shoes that they had and just took them right over, like easiest sell of the day, right?
Yeah.
And he says, oh, great. He says, would you like to be part of our preferred customer club? Yeah, sure. All right, great. Can we? And so he's got the little, you know, name, address, city, that kind of thing to fill out. And he says, and what's your name? Aaron. Okay, Aaron. And what's your last name? That is my last name. And so my dad said, okay, what's your first name? Henry. And then my dad looks up like, my God.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Mr. Aaron. I didn't realize it was you. You know, Hank Aaron. Good Lord, yeah. Hey, here's your shoes. Thanks for being a customer here.
So, like, well, he's just not even, it's not even on his radar that he would come in there or something. I mean,
right.
I guess I could see how that could happen,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but it was also just so how, you know, Hank Aaron's sense of humor, humility, just a guy, yeah. You know, on a weeknight when he had off, didn't have to play at the ballpark, picked up two nice-looking dress shoes at this downtown shoe store in Milwaukee.
That's
and,
great.
You know, my father loved that story forever.
So, Mike, I really, as always, appreciate you jumping on. Where ESPN ranks the top three baseball players, they have Aaron as third, then Willie Mays, and then Babe Ruth. This
yeah, you
is
know,
something
baseball
people
like Costas and those guys, it's yeah. the fielding. Willie Mays, man. Willie
oh,
Mays.
Yeah.
The
and
duration
I don't think he played
career,
as long. Yeah.
No, he had a long career. The duration of the career, the availability, some of the things that he overcame, they still say that maybe he was, in fact. And, you know, of course, it's like Ruth. I mean, if he'd taken care of himself, you know, how much more production could he have possibly had? Because he just totally abused himself all the time. So,
yeah.
And you can, I trust you can make the argument for guys that say Willie Mays is still the greatest player of all time.
Oh, interesting. So you go Mays, Ruth, Aaron, or Mays, Aaron, Ruth?
Because I would probably say Mays, Ruth, and Aaron. Yeah.
Okay. It's tough because Ruth was a great pitcher too. Apparently,
at the start that, he was that, outstanding pitcher. Yeah. From starting out with the Red Sox.
But he didn't play in an interracial league for the most part, right? I mean,
that's another point.
How do you even measure that? That's why to me it's like. I'd probably go Aaron just by his numbers. Mays, Ruth? I don't know.
Oh, I think he passed away by the time Jackie Robinson got in.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. That's why you're the sports guy, Mike. Yeah. And Johnny's giving me nothing here. He says he's not a sports fan.
I just realized we were talking about baseball about 2 minutes ago.
Oh,
Mike,
yeah,
thanks so much
yeah.
for your thanks so much for your time
baseball.
Today, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks as always, pal. You're the best.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, you got it. That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own Mike Clemens. Conrad, what do you think? What do you rank the baseball players?
See, I would do the same thing you said. I think I'd put Aaron up there on top, and then I'd put Mays, and then Babe Ruth.
Yeah, and I know you're just going to agree with us, John.
No Mickey Mantle.
No Mickey Mantle. What about Joe Slobotnik, Charlie Brown's favorite baseball player? Yeah, well, it's a good argument. It's different with baseball because they did have the separate leagues for the separate races. So who knows? But all right, Johnny Beaner is here. We're going to jump back into a little bit of comedy. I'm going to ask, we're going to talk about the other Madison room. This is kind of funny because it was called Funny Business. It was like a block away.
That was the one where it was on the left side. So they're in their third space. I never did the first space. I did the second space.
Oh.
So the one you're talking about was across the street and upstairs. And then when I did it, it was on the other side upstairs.
Oh, no
and
kidding.
Now it's below us.
Wow.
So I never did it when it was actually Funny Business. But I mean, a lot of my, you know.
That's interesting. That was a good room too, but it could have used a little bit more of the disciplining the audiences or training the audiences, I guess you would say. We'll talk more about that. Johnny Beaner's here, Madison-based comedian. We're gonna find out where you can see him live coming up next and who his favorite comics are. That's next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare of
right.
yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
We're back. We are live tonight in Madison, Wisconsin. Take a nightline on the road a little bit here. Madison comedian Johnny Beaner is here with me in studio. Coming up at 8:35, Vahan Bedalian, an up-and-coming filmmaker, will join me in studio as well. I saw his film, The K-Town Killer, here at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and we'll talk to Vahan about filmmaking at 8:30. Always great to talk to Mike. Johnny, what? Who are your favorite comics?
So top three, I would say Steve Martin, nice. Brian Regan, and Jim Gaffigan.
Wow.
Yeah. I like the white guys.
Usually we do get a Richard Pryor in there or a Carlin. You didn't say Pryor or Carlin. So that's interesting.
I respect them, but they're not in my, I have Chris Rock in my top five to spice it up a little, but yeah. And I watched I don't know if you've watched on Apple TV, the Steve Martin documentary.
I have not yet, but I cannot wait to see it. I hear it's great.
It's really good. But if you've read the book, like the first half is all stand up. The second half is, you know, cause it's two parts, is all about movies. And it was great to see, but there wasn't really anything I didn't know.
Right.
In the stand up part, but it was great.
Steve Martin was like the first guy that I heard the albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm sure I'm supposed to be listening to this stuff about drugs. And like, and then Eddie Murphy too, like all the albums became the thing. Cosby actually too had some good albums. And he worked clean, and that's a great list, though. Steve Martin, I would probably put him in my top three. Regan would be in mine as well, and I like Gaffigan a lot. Mm-hmm. I would probably do it, and I know I'm being a hack just by doing this, but Pryor, Carlin would tie for third because
you got to have them in there.
I just feel like I should, even though pound for pound, like Brian Regan probably makes me laugh harder than anybody.
Yeah,
even Steve Martin, really.
Yeah,
I don't know. But that's a good debate too. Just like with the baseball players, you know, you could debate comedians too. Where can people see you around?
I'll actually be, they're doing right now at the Comedy on State downstairs. They're doing their funniest person or funniest comic in Madison competition. And so I am doing a set to open up the show on the 17th because it's every Wednesday. So they don't have their mic because I'll go to their open mic that they do on Wednesdays. Every here and there when I can. And so right now, while the competition's going on, that's not going on, but I am doing a set to warm up to start the show on the 17th. And then I'll be in at the Delafield Legion Post on April 20th and Meats Opera House in St. Nazianzus, Wisconsin.
Is that how you say that? I always wondered.
I've never heard of it.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I always see the road sign when I would go from Milwaukee to my
St. Nazianzus.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
April 26th. Yeah.
April 26th. So, and the date here downstairs at the Comedy on State is
that's next Wednesday, the 17th. Yeah.
Okay. And but you're not doing? Are you like hosting the show or?
They asked me to judge the competition. Oh. So I'll be there every week, every Wednesday of the competition. But then on that 17th, they want me to do like a 15-20 minute set to
very cool
start it out.
Do you feel weird judging other comedians?
Yeah. I wear a hat. I show up right at the end. Cause I judged it last year to help them out. Cause I love watching them. I just think, you know, Madison has a lot of great comics.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have like, it's crazy. It's like 46 last Wednesday was 46 comics and then 44 this Wednesday. And they narrow that pool down to 25 and then 10 and then 5.
Holy smokes.
So, and they're, you know, I mean, you would think 100 people, there's got to be some
that's
that are
like
just
Chicago
like
Chicago numbers, yeah. I would think, but that's,
but there's not a lot of duds. It's a good show.
Do you think like in Wisconsin? Do you find crowds are different when you work Wisconsin? You could probably find different crowds within Wisconsin, but like, is there a Midwest sensibility, or do you find that it's the same everywhere?
I kind of find that it is the same everywhere. I don't know if it's me or audiences everywhere, but I kind of just do what I do.
Yeah.
And I think that when I was starting out and I was traveling a lot, I would be like, oh, what is this like? You know, I'd get intimidated.
Yeah.
But then just doing it enough, you're just like, well, what does it matter? What am I going to change? You know, what am I going to cater for every place I go to? I'm just going to be me. And I kind of don't really, you know,
right,
see much of a difference.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, that's a testament to you as a comic too. If you can make people laugh, you know, yeah, you don't want it. Because there are those local guys. I remember when you'd roll into a town and the MC was a local guy. I thought he was kind of hot stuff, you know, and he'd go up to all the local jokes.
Yeah, and crush.
And crush. And crush, yeah. And some guys even got cocky and they'd walk up the stage and go, follow that. So, okay. This club, yeah, when it was Funny Business, I remember getting here. I was based out of Chicago, but I didn't know much about Madison. I loved coming to Madison once I found out what it was, you know, and I got there and the guy who was the bartender and the club owner, both were going through divorces.
Oh,
so they wanted the comics to go out with them at night so they could use the comics as a way to meet girls.
Oh, okay.
So to make things worse, they were both staying at the comedy condo because they were kicked out of their homes.
Oh,
so I got here to town. I think it was the middle act. And I said, so where's the condo? And it was, the condo was like far away. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then this guy, the bartender, goes, yeah, and me and so-and-so have been staying there too. So it'll be the two of you and then the two of us. God. And he goes, it's been going great.
Yeah, great for you.
Because you get kicked out of your house and you're not paying rent. Like, it was just awful. And I think we gave him the shake at some point during the night, but it was horrible. And it was a good room. Like I don't know what happened to those guys, but the room itself was really good. And I think Milwaukee's a great comedy town too. Mm-hmm. That comedy cafe that used to be there, some of the best crowds in the country, in my opinion.
I'm so nostalgic for the comedy cafe. The people that run it, you know, it was a little like you were nervous. Like you were in the way if you weren't on stage and had no bones about making you feel terrible. But then you get on stage and, you know, it's just such hot crowds. I don't know how they did it.
I worked there before the regime that you're talking about took over. They bought it from the people that I worked there. And they were, you know, they had their issues too, but they ran a great, you know, club. And they, again, with the audiences, they just had them trained and it was something about it. It was so much fun. Do you have any horrible horror stories when you work the road or?
I don't know.
I mean, like a pretty laid back guy.
Yeah. I don't really invite too many, horrible stories. I mean, I've eaten at plenty of places. I'll never do a post prom again.
It called?
Post prom.
Post. Oh, wow.
You know, like after the prom, they rent out a YMCA at the high school and they,
oh, dear,
so that kids don't go have, you know, make love after prom.
Marital relations. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was in this place. I was in like a ballet room. It was all mirrors and they had a railing around it. And I was performing in front of the door. So when the kids wanted to leave, they just had to be like, oh, excuse me. Ask me to scoot over so they could walk by. I tripped over a, you know, Gatorade bottle that was on the ground. The guy before me was playing that game where you like have to pop the balloons by smushing it with your partner. So there's balloons. People are just popping during my act. I mean, that was just awful.
Sometimes I regret not doing stand up anymore, but when I hear stories like that, I feel better about my life. Hey man, this is really fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
Tonight.
Yeah.
And,
thanks
you gotta
for
come back
me.
And do it again sometime.
I would love to. Yeah.
All right. Don't drive carefully. I know you live close, but still.
Okay.
10 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
Yes. That's the only way I drive.
It's Johnny Beaner. So much fun. And we'll have him back soon. Coming up in a few minutes, Vahan Bedalian will be here to talk filmmaking. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. 50,000 people from all over the country watched the total eclipse of the sun at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
This was one of the most incredible things I think I've ever experienced. I don't actually have words to explain what I just saw.
It was so cool to see, like, everyone was cheering together. It just felt like everyone was coming together for, like, this super cool event.
Special Counsel Jack Smith's office just filed its brief urging the Supreme Court to reject former President Trump's appeal, claiming he should be immune from prosecution in his 2020 federal election interference case. Supreme Court argument scheduled for April 25th. Rejected by a New York appeals court judge, Donald Trump's bid to delay his April 15th hush money porn star election interference criminal trial. Yesterday's women's college basketball final had 18.7 million TV viewers, a record for that women's final, 24 million at its peak. South Carolina beat Iowa. Tonight, UConn and Purdue in the men's final. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Body parts are turning up around Milwaukee County. A human leg was found in a park in Cudahy last week. Another body part was found in Milwaukee a few days later. The family of a missing teenager says it wants answers. Authorities can't confirm a connection, but they have brought in someone for questioning. President Biden says student loan debt is crippling too many Americans and hurting the U.S. economy.
My administration will propose a new rule to cancel up to $20,000 in runaway interest for any borrower that owes more now than when they started paying the loan.
Biden in Madison Monday announcing new steps that could benefit 25 million Americans. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, showers around, and lows in the low 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower, warmer, highs low 60s, and mostly sunny and upper 60s on Wednesday. The wind picks up Thursday, clouds roll back in, and another chance of showers. Currently 57 degrees.
Spring is the best time to sell your home. The Madison market is hot right now, so get ahead of the spring rush and list your home today with the Aaron Weber Group. MoveToMadison.com is your resource with listings updated every 15 minutes. Easy and convenient virtual or in person showings and meetings. Aaron Weber Group makes your selling experience perfect. MoveToMadison.com. Rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. MoveToMadison.com. Spring is in the air.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwab, a podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. We are in the home stretch here on Nightlight, live from Madison, Wisconsin, doing the show, taking the show on the road. Well, me, Conrad, is back in Green Bay holding down the fort, hiding all yes. the drugs, all that kind of stuff. Until the grown-ups get back. But anything you need to report up there, buddy? Any flashers tonight in the Green Bay streets?
I believe that there is some sort of conference going on at the hotel across the street, because parking garage really? Was pretty full. Saw a lot of people in suits. So don't know what's going on there, but...
If I never see that hotel again, it will be too soon. And it's a nice hotel. I just need to get home. Okay, so we've got our question tonight. You can still get in on the fun if you want to. When it comes to movies, what is the best sequel? What's the sequel you've enjoyed the most? We've gotten some great texts and suggestions so far tonight. Robert from the 608 says Major League 2 ain't bad. Okay, that's one I didn't even realize they made a sequel to that. So I'll have to check that out. Robert continues, I'm rewatching Westworld. The first season was perfect. I'm a Nolan family fan. I watched the first season, and then I stopped watching that for some reason. I don't know why. Did you see Westworld, Conrad?
I did not.
Yeah, it's not. It's okay. I don't know. It's hard for me to buy some of the stuff that was going on. But why don't we do this? Why don't we bring in an actual filmmaker here and see what he says about some of the things we're talking about? It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight an up-and-coming director, Vahan Badalyan. Vahan, so great to have you here.
Hi, Pete. Thank you for having me.
It was nice to meet you. We first met when I interviewed you on PBS for the film festival episode we do a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And I got to talk to you over a monitor. You were still in LA, and then we connected here in Madison and had a chance to talk a little bit. And then I saw your film, The K-Town Killer, and I really liked it. Tell us where the idea for that came.
Thank you so much.
A little bit about the film, too, if you would.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much. The K-Town Killer, it's a short film. It's about a girl. She's a professional fighter. She's hiding her career from her mom, and her mom has this abusive landlord, and so she defends her mom from that landlord, and that becomes her way of showing her who she is. We're on the festival circuit. We obviously just did Wisconsin Film Festival. We'll be in Minneapolis for MSPIF in a couple days, and that's the film.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And where did the idea for this film, I know you have a writing partner on it, where did the idea or inspiration for the film, for the story come from?
So I first started writing a version of this story back in 2016. It started because I was training kickboxing, and I would lie to my mom. She would ask me, like, you're not actually getting hit in the head at the gym, are you? You're just, you know, going to get cardio. And I said, no, of course not. Meanwhile, I was getting hit in the head quite often. And I confessed that to one of my coaches, and he told me he was fighting in stadiums at a time where his parents didn't even know he was training. And he said, no mother wants to watch their child get hit in the head. And that sort of became the genesis of the story. I also had another friend who was a fighter. Her nickname was the Angry Korean. She was a Korean-American female kickboxer. So I was sort of like basing the story on both of them. And then I met my co-director in grad school, and she's Korean, and we sort of like workshopped the story together. And
she liked it right when you pitched it?
And she brought a lot more of a perspective as a daughter, which is something I don't have,
right?
Famously.
I think, you know what's interesting? I have friends who have a son who dabbled in mixed martial arts, and they said they don't want to go. They don't want to see him get hurt. They also said it's traumatic when you see him hurting someone else, which is something I don't know if people – that didn't occur to me. I'm like, yeah, that would be weird too, watching your child beat someone up or really inflict pain, possibly much worse when it comes to mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that is something that we are all sort of like conditioned not to do.